this encouraging word. And Paul remained encouraged, not just because he was around such great, godly, spiritual, fun-loving, real friends who knew how to burn some chicken outside and who knew what it was like to paddle a canoe and to go to a good beach and go and catch fish and run around with grandkids and one and at the same time deal with hurt and pain and suffering and the trials and tribulations and the letdowns and the struggles of life. But he was a man who in that context stuck to the word of God. He never veered from God's word. He said, this is the word of the living God, and time without number, and even right here at the temple of Aphrodite in this cosmopolitan city, in this place where every wind and every philosophy seemed to rule in its own right, he stood up and he told them about the word of God. It's an amazing thing.
God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on the Friday edition of
The Encouraging Word.
Yes, this is The Encouraging Word, and Dr. Don is continuing in this two-part series on encouragement and understanding how God can take us no matter where we are, even if we find ourselves in the real valley, the valley of the shadow of death even, and God can bring us through. You know, there may be situations and circumstances going on in your life right now where you believe that you just need somebody else to help pray you through. We are that someone. We believe God's helped us connect through this broadcast for that main reason. Give us a call. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. And that and so many more ways to connect are online as well at TheEncouragingWord.org.
The Encouraging Word.
Now, here's Dr. Don Wilton.
This is where that phrase, to Corinthize, which is used as a verb or an adverb to describe an action, to Corinthize, literally was borrowed from way back in Paul's time, related to the debauchery that went on in temple worship surrounding the goddesses of the temple to Aphrodite, and to Corinthize literally means that you give yourself to very unseeming behavior and immoral behavior that in every way contradicts the law and the will of God. And here comes Paul. And when Paul arrives here in Corinth, what happened to him before he got there? He got thrown out of that city. He got thrown out of that town. He went a rough sea into Athens. He got slammed by the Epicureans and the Stoics. He got let down. He got badly treated. And finally, he goes 53 miles to boot, walks it, which is a long way, and he arrives in the city of debauchery, in the city of Corinth, where even government officials are making special trips over there. They are engaged in every kind of unethical, unholy, and ungodly behavior. And here arrives the preacher. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. So when he wrote back to them some years later, he said to them, I just want you to know when I arrived in your presence, I arrived in fear and trembling, in weakness. I realized the only thing that mattered was that I needed to just stick to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I wanted you to know in the final analysis that everything that you know and everything that you are and everything that you ever will become is dependent only on God and not on man, not on people. He was saying, listen, in the context of all this, I'm running up against the businesses in this community. I'm running up the government. I'm running into the pocketbooks of people. I'm dealing with sailors. This thing is seen as a threat. Everything I'm going to do, even to this massive temple that's been erected, to all this pagan worship, when I talk about Jesus Christ, I want you to know I'm just running headlong into the world for which Christ died. I save to know nothing among you excepting Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So my friends, what was it about Paul? That's why I'm speaking to you today about an encouraging word. You know, many years ago when God gave to us the encouraging word, we knew what we needed to call this preaching and teaching ministry that now goes across the world, broadcasting on TBN and Daystar, and WSPA and on radio, not only here but around the world. We knew what it was about. It was about this encouraging word. Because we're living in a world where it's not politics that's going to encourage us. It's not going to be our pocketbooks. It's not going to be our wherewithal. It's not going to be our own genius. It's not going to be our brilliance. It's not going to be our organization. It's going to be this encouraging word, God's encouraging word. Because it's about Jesus. Paul said, I came to you in fear and trembling. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? I'm running into a buzzsaw. I know what I'm dealing with, and I'm scared to death in my human heart. But my God will never leave me. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So what was it here in Corinth that provided Paul with encouragement? How did he remain encouraged? And God just showed me as I began to study this five wonderful things that were of such encouragement to Paul. I just want to share them with you. Right here in this text, let's read chapter 18. It's going to make sense to you now. This is what happened. Chapter 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. And there he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, whom Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked for them, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade both Jews and Greeks. Now when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments. And he said to them, your blood will be on your own heads, for I am innocent. From now on I will go to the Gentiles. And he left there and he went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. And his house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his whole household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, don't be afraid, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. I'm going to stop right there. Just watch these five points of encouragement after all of this and in the context in which he found himself. How did Paul remain encouraged? Number one, he had great friends. I'm looking at them. There's so much to say about Priscilla and Aquila. They were precious people. A whole book can be written about them. In Romans chapter 16, Paul reminds us that they even did everything they could to defend him in Rome and prevent him from being executed. Later on, we're going to see they even accompanied him when he left Corinth and went across to Ephesus briefly. They pop up from time to time. We know they were part of the fabric of founding the church. They were the fabric of the church, these friends. He went to their home. They provided for his means. They helped him. He joined in with them. They said, come on, you can participate here because we know that you've got to live as well and we want to be part of that. We want to help make possible for you to be able to do what God is telling you to do. It's what you find in church. People from time to time may wonder why go to church, why become part of a local group of believers, because it's right there you're going to find 2 a.m. friends. I promise you, just give it a couple of weeks, you'll start making friends for a lifetime. And friendship matters. Friends are very precious commodities. I'm just speaking as one individual, but Karen and I look out across a sea of people and we count you as our dearest friends. This is not just a job. This is life that we live together. And friends celebrate. We celebrate children and grandchildren. We celebrate ups and we celebrate downs. We get alongside each other. We provide for one another. We offer a helping hand. We're there when we need it most. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, we know that when our hearts are heavy and broken, we know that we can go to our friends. That's what Paul was saying here. Right in the midst of all of this, he had great friends. Number two, he stuck with the Word. I love this. In verse 5, the Bible says, Paul was devoted. He was occupied with the Word of God. There's a relentless pursuit here after God's Word. Beloved people, I'm going to say something to us today. I'm going to say this to America. This Word is coming under more and more attack. There are more and more churches that don't even hardly refer to it. Some are saying, well, this has just got some good ideas in it. There are more and more churches being built and founded upon what people think. We've got a lot of good ideas. We've got great ideas. We've got wonderful giftedness. But it all has to come from and go back into God's Word, beginning with our own salvation. And it's so very easy when you serve the temple of Aphrodite and you believe that your right and your freedom is to do what you want and love whoever you want to and just operate. And as soon as you do that, you begin to diminish the authority of God's Word, even down to salvation. God is so clear that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will receive eternal life. It's about Jesus, not Jesus plus something. Nothing. It's only Jesus. And the Bible tells us how to get to Jesus. And what the requirements are. God tells us that. God tells us how the church should function. God tells us about pastors and ministers and elders and presbyters and deacons and teachers. And God tells us about families and teaches us about love and about life and about meaning and about purpose. This encouraging word. And Paul remained encouraged, not just because he was around such great, godly, spiritual, fun-loving, real friends who knew how to burn some chicken outside and who knew what it was like to paddle a canoe and to go to a good beach and go and catch fish and run around with grandkids and one and at the same time deal with hurt and pain and suffering, and the trials and tribulations and the letdowns and the struggles of life. But he was a man who, in that context, stuck to the Word of God. He never veered from God's Word. He said, this is the Word of the living God, and time without number, and even right here at the temple of Aphrodite in this cosmopolitan city, in this place where every wind and every philosophy seemed to rule in its own right, he stood up and he told them about the Word of God. It's an amazing thing.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he's got so much more to come. He'll be back in just a few moments with more. But we want you to know that we're here for you. As we mentioned earlier, the phone number, 866-899-WORD, will connect with one of us, not just now during the broadcast, but anytime, day or night. It routes to one of us ready to pray with you, whether it's 2 a.m. in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, at 866-899-WORD. Again, that's 866-899-9673. We love to connect with you and connect with great resources. You'll discover on our website, theencouragingword.org, a number of ways to listen to and watch great messages from Dr. Wilton and discover resources that perhaps would be just what you need to take you to the next, to give you the opportunity of rooting yourself into God's Word and yet stretching out to be the man of God, the woman of God that the Lord has called you to be. Again, all those resources are collected together on our website at theencouragingword.org. And I've got to remind you, just the other day, I had some friends saying, I've never heard of the Encouraging Word email. How long has this been going on? Well, years and years and years, as a matter of fact. If you don't know about it, it's a free email. You can sign up on our website, theencouragingword.org, to get this bit of encouragement. For me, it jumpstarts my quiet time about 6 o'clock in the morning. I pray you'd consider to use it as a jumpstart to your quiet time, or maybe a midday break, or maybe to wrap up the end of the day. You can sign up right now at the website, theencouragingword.org, or if you'd like, just text the word daily to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and you'll be right there on the website to sign up yourself. That's texting the word daily to 30500 and sign up online. Or you can always call us and say, send us a physical copy. We'll do that as well. Call us at 866-899-WORD and ask for the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. Again, the number is 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
He had great friends and he stuck with the Word. And number three, he just kept on witnessing. I love the second part in verse 5. He said that he just continued to testify to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And we find this replete right throughout, not only in Corinth, but at every place that this man walked, every place that he stopped, every household that he was in, he just kept talking about Jesus, just kept witnessing. And there were those that opposed him. There were those that out and out rejected him. But you know, it seems like every table we turn and every page we turn, we find someone else has given their lives to Christ. And the joy of seeing people come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and receiving that beautiful gift of salvation and being released from the burden of sin, being set free, being given new purpose and wholeness and joy and peace in their life. He just kept testifying. Boy, I think Paul just was encouraged every time he opened his mouth because he was sticking to the Word and he was telling them about Jesus. But number four, I think that he remained encouraged because he met with God. You know, this is such a great word from verse 9 through 11. We once again find Paul encountering the Lord's presence. The Lord said to Paul in a vision, don't be afraid, but go on speaking. Do not be silent. I want you to think about this. Maybe what I was saying is, I have met with God, and I'd like to tell you what he said. You know, Paul said this to the church at Corinth when he wrote the letter. He said, one thing I want you to know, I want you to become absolutely convinced that what you hear is not coming from men, coming from God. And I think Paul was roundly encouraged in his heart, in the midst of even Corinth, because he met with God. Have you met with him? Did you meet with him today? Are you meeting with him now? And then there was one final thing. I think that he remained encouraged because he trusted God to do his work. He just trusted God to do his work. You know, folks, I want to tell you something today. I want you to really get a hold of this. We gather like this and we worship the Lord, and I mean, what incredible praise and worship. And it's a brief time if you think about it in terms of a whole week, and we're among friends and we share the Word of God and we witness and we stick to the Word. And Do you know something right now? I trust God to do His work. I have no tension in that. I'm just trusting God because God loves you. I cannot save you. I cannot forgive you. I cannot make you. You know, Steve and the team, come up and join me here. God is speaking to you. And when I say that I trust Him, I don't say that in like, well, okay, God, I trust you. I trust Him because He's God. I believe that God is working in your heart as He works in my heart. I believe God is speaking. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is being revealed. I believe the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your sin. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to respond to that. I'm going to invite you to say yes to Him. Open your heart to Him. I'm going to invite you to repent of your sin and confess that sin to Jesus. I wish I could tell you to go to your priest. The Bible doesn't say that that's what you do. It's nowhere in the Bible. I wish I could tell you to come to me and share with me your deepest sin, and that I wish I could say to you, you know what? If you could just do the following three things, but the Bible says that when you come to Him, just as you are, without one plea, no arguments, open hands and an open heart, because Christ Jesus died for you. When you come without one plea to Him, He'll do what He said He'll do. He will enter into your heart and life. He will forgive you for your sin. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll set you free. You'll become a new person. And if you've already given your life to Christ, and you are like so many of us over the years, and you've fallen, you've gone far away from God, maybe your heart is in a foreign land, maybe you are worshiping in the temple of Aphrodite. God loves you. Come back home. Come to Him.
Lamb of God, here I come. I pray that you have been moved today, not by just the great words of our pastor, who's insightful, brilliant, humble, and very quick to say he's just a sinner saved by grace, but that instead of hearing just the message from the pastor, that the Lord has spoken through him today, through His living, breathing Word, the Bible itself. And you realize, like we all have at times, that we need a change, that we need an adjustment, a course correction in order to be what God's called us to be the woman of God, the man of God that God wants us to be. We've got to be willing to change. Can we pray for you through that change? Right now, I'd love to pray for some of you that are saying yes to Jesus for the first time. It's time. You've been connected. I spent many years of my life in church, very religious, doing the right things, saying the right things, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Could that be you? Am I an example of what you're going through right now? If so, change it today. Perhaps a simple prayer like this is just what you need to pray. Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner and my sin has separated me from you. But today, I want to know you, Jesus. I want you to come into my heart. Come into my life. Change me from the inside out. I confess you are the Son of God and died on the cross of Calvary for my sins, and I accept you as Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If that's your heart's cry, let us talk with you. Let us put resources in your hand that will help you grow. Let us help you find a local church to plug into. Give us a call. The number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at theencouragingword.org.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
Hello, my friends. You and I know so well that in today's world, social media is at the forefront of the social lifestyle. Everything you post on social media is so important, isn't it? People are snapping, tweeting, and posting more than ever, and we need your help. It's so vital to not only follow the Encouraging Word on our social platforms, but that you share our encouraging content with your friends and family. Friends, this is not fake news. This gospel presentation is real, and it's alive, and we need your help in sharing this truth with our searching world. So thank you for your support of the Encouraging Word, and please follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and be sure to like our Facebook page to help us get this good news out to a very desperate world. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is the Encouraging Word. And now you know why.